is, good people. This is Rebel Without Applause, and I'm your host, Khalid Salam. Gonna do things a little different on this episode. Usually the format is I'll start off with my own commentary and then do an interview. But this time we're gonna go interview first, and then I'll do the commentary second, just because I think the interview is really good and I want you guys to hear it, definitely. A couple days ago, I talked to Dr. Colin Holbrook from UCLA Center for Behavior, Evolution, and Culture, and he was a lead author on a research study on racial bias in which many things were discussed, including names, or more specifically, quote-unquote, black names, a topic that I myself am extremely familiar with and comfortable discussing. Any of you who follow me on Twitter know I talk about this topic, I mean, damn near weekly. And if not weekly, then certainly quite often enough where you notice it's a topic, obviously, that's a big deal to me and dear to my heart. And I'll get into the reasons why after the interview. But listen to what the doctor and I discuss, and then I'll be right back to really go into detail. This is Rebel Without Applause. Khalid Salam, let's go.
This is the Rebel Without Applause podcast with Khalid Salam.
First of all, just thank you for writing this. Very much appreciate your research on this topic. It's always highly appreciated by many people in many communities, but certainly people in the black community with names such as mine. And I guess I just want to start out just basically asking, why did you decide to take on this project?
Well, it's a bit of a long story. I'll try to get to the point. This project, the first thing I want to say is that this paper has gotten a really large and somewhat unexpected amount of press coverage. I suppose in hindsight, we might have expected it to be sort of a hot button issue, especially in the current media climate, as so much more attention is being paid to black men being the victims of police violence and other kinds of violence. But when we set out to do this research, we had a number of aims and a number of interesting findings were produced as a result, and almost none of that has appeared in the press. And one of the reasons I was looking forward to talking to you was to have a little bit of a longer form opportunity to explain it better.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, please go ahead.
So the first thing I just want to say is, like, sort of to clear the table and hopefully try to reset it with what we were actually aiming for, is that this wasn't really a project about names. This was a project about racial stereotypes of danger.
Gotcha.
In particular. And so we could have done a number of things to give participants a hint that the person they were asked to think about in the study was of this or that group. And we settled on using names because we tested it, and it seemed to be a kind of subtle way of doing it. And you have to be subtle, because if we just ask, you know, predominantly slightly left of center participant sample, like the one that we were working with, if we just said, this character is a black man, now what do you think about him? People wouldn't answer. They'd be more or less
asking
lie.
Them,
hey, are you a racist?
Yeah. They would either say that or likely not tell the truth.
Right, of course. And by not telling the truth, it's actually on multiple levels. I mean, not only trying to make a good impression on other people, but also very likely not even wanting to acknowledge having these negative stereotypes in their own heads. Yeah. So kind of to lie to themselves as much as other people. And so this is kind of a standard approach in social psychology and other kinds of psychology, to use just a gentle touch and not hit people over the head with the thing that you're actually interested in.
Right.
And so that's the only reason that we use names. And the findings have been misconstrued as being utterly focused on names, and I'm very dismayed to see discussion of, you know, should I name my child this or that? And, you know, that's really missing the point. Right. It's not about names. It's about prejudice. Like, right. We need to focus on the prejudice, not on names.
Can I ask why you chose to use participants that you consider to be left of center?
Oh, that wasn't necessarily a choice. It was just something that we discovered about the participant sample. In this particular study, it was a mix of undergraduate students and also online participants. Uh-huh. And it just happens to be the case that people who are willing to spend a few minutes doing online studies tend to be a little bit more progressive in their politics.
Interesting.
Not much more. It was pretty much at the center, but just a shade to the left. So these weren't card-carrying members of the John Birch Society.
which actually, you know, makes it somehow more troubling.
And absolutely.
Yeah. As I mentioned to you on email, I've written about this topic before and spoken about it on several occasions. And what I find most somehow both scary and interesting is how people automatically define many sets of behaviors just to that one variable, your name, and you're in this category, and that's it. There's no turning back from that one narrative.
That's right. And that's something that we actually explored in our research, which was what happens when you tell some people, when you tell people a little more about the individual. So can you give them individual level information, and do they take that on board and use that to draw conclusions, or are they stuck relying on the assumptions built into the stereotype? So, for example, we did a study where we not only did we tell people, not only did we assign people a name that might conjure, or was very likely to conjure, the image of a black man in their mind, but we also described him as, in one version of the study, we described him as a highly successful, graduated at the top of his class at Harvard, pillar of his community, well-liked by his friends, very prestigious. And what we wanted to see is, if we really pour on this kind of information, what does that do to the sort of baseline level of the stereotype? And what we found was that it improves things, but it doesn't entirely erase the stereotype. And that in subtle ways, the stereotype is still there. Now to explain how we know that, I should actually back up and lay out what these studies consisted of, because they're very simple.
Okay.
What we did was we asked participants to read a very short little scenario or a vignette, and as vividly as they could, to imagine the events that they read about and any people that were involved. And the scenarios were all very similar. They're basically variations on a day in the life, mm-hmm. where a character gets up in the morning and he takes a shower and he goes shopping and he gets a call from his friends. He ends up going out to meet them later. And through no fault of his own, a sort of antagonistic other man starts a conflict with him. And then, so after having read and visualized that, the participants were supposed to just report to us what they pictured. And we asked them questions that were, we asked a great deal of questions, but what they boiled down to was, how violent is the person that you imagined, the sort of protagonist of the story? Mm-hmm. What does he look like? Is he physically big and strong, or is he small? Is he tall? Is he short? We also asked about his prestige and status. How do other people feel about him? So, and then with regards to the names, if you're interested, the specific names that we used were in a version of the study that compared black versus white names. The names were Darnell, Jamal, and Deshaun. Mm-hmm. Whereas the white sounding names were Connor, Garrett, and Wyatt. And we got those kind of pretty white sounding, right?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, my own name, Colin, was one of the whitest sounding names as well, but I decided that would be far too confusing if I were to use my own name. I just didn't want to go there. And I should also add that we did a version of this study where we compared Latino-sounding names with East Asian-sounding names and found pretty similar results. And so what we found was that just based on the name alone, that's the only detail that was changed, an image, a whole profile, if you will, of the person automatically sprang into people's minds. And what they pictured was the black character was not only bigger and stronger. I mean, there's a prevailing stereotype that black men are physically bigger and stronger, which I think goes back far into our history, you know, probably originating even in the era of slavery and so on.
Yeah.
But it's certainly perpetuated today by, you know, the really large relative to the population percentage of, like, players in football and basketball and so on who are physically big and strong. So it's no surprise that people thought that Jamal, for example, was big and strong. They also thought he was more violent as a person, and they thought he was not respected by other people in the society. And what we were able to show is that the size wasn't independent of the violence, but the size was actually being used by the mind to represent the violence. So the meaning of the size stereotype was a threat danger stereotype.
Yeah, it's not at all shocking to me, and even in the context of assuming that people have thoughts in their minds of pro athletes of football and basketball being bigger guys, that doesn't seem to work for baseball or MMA or any number of other sports in which physical size plays a major factor in who is identified with it. But another thing I wanted to run by you, something that I've spoken a lot about. In my discussions and in the work that I've done, it's a lot less based on the name than we think it. It really is based on just an idea. For instance, like names like Antoine, Lamar, Tyrone, right? These are actually, you know, quite quote white or European names in their cultural basis. However, they've been popularized amongst black communities. And for whatever reason, white communities have tended to go away from these names, but they're still quote real names. Why does the same effect happen with those names, in your opinion?
Oh, why wouldn't the same effect happen with the?
Why does it? Because it happens. No, Tyrone is a perfect example. It's like the name in this conversation, like the first quote black name, right? And mm-hmm. that name became.
It was one of the top 10. We pre-tested all of the names because we wanted the black and white names to be as similar in a few ways as possible. And Tyrone was one of the things with Tyrone was not only was Tyrone associated with being really big and strong, but with being hyper masculine.
Right.
Like way, way, way more masculine than names like Connor, Garrett, or Wyatt, which is why we didn't use Tyrone.
Right. Even though Tyrone's origin is Irish. Right? But
sure.
People don't make that association for reasons unbeknownst to me. But what I'm asking you is why do people make the same connections regardless of whether it's a quote unquote black name or a quote unquote made up name or a quote unquote white name?
Well, okay, so I should just say before going into something like this, I am, you know, definitely stepping into the realm of speculation because as a research scientist, I don't want to go on the record with anything that I don't have data on.
Fair
but
enough.
You're asking me as a semi-informed person who might be willing to speculate. I think that those are black names now, and I don't think it particularly matters to the psychology of a person what the history was. I mean, most people probably don't even know the history of the name Tyrone.
Probably
even
don't.
Even if they did know it,
they don't care.
I don't think it would really matter,
because
times have changed, and Tyrone now is a black name. And if I was even going to speculate further, I'd say that's probably why white families aren't naming their kids that anymore.
Oh, I would assume that's definitely why.
Yes. Middle names are on.
Yes.
Yeah. But again, I don't know any of that for sure. But it sounds like common sense to me. But I don't know.
When it comes to the longer names, the Daquan, the, you know, the many of the names that start with the LA or RA or, you know, there's a category of many of those names, and that's not even just a race thing. That's also a class thing in which various people have decided that those names are not to be respected, are not to be acknowledged, not to be even barely even, people dehumanize people who have those names. My question to you is this, those particular names, right? Is it smart of us to associate names by Americans? These are American, these are Black Americans, right? The name is, the name Genesis happens here on American soil, making it, quote, an American name, right? So then, technically, I'm just saying, I'm speaking technically, it's an American name.
Sure. I mean, I suppose, I mean, I think it's like any other piece of cultural information that gets transmitted. On day one, it's not going to have been transmitted very far, the signal won't be very loud, and people probably in the culture won't have adopted or, you know, incorporated that into their identity, for example.
Right.
But sure, I mean, technically, you could name anyone anything, and then if they're an American, it's an American name, I suppose.
Right. Everything you discussed in your piece, important and awesome, and yet not really new. We all know this. We've known this for many, many years. Why doesn't it stick?
Okay, so there's two things there in your question, and I'm going to seize on the first one and then try to answer the second one about why is it so hard to get rid of these ideas. I think I have something possibly useful to say about the second, and I'm sure I have something useful to say about the first. One reason I'm so surprised by the press coverage is you're right. The idea that Black people, especially Black men, are automatically stereotyped and associated with criminality and violence is not news at all. I mean, this isn't something that's going to surprise anyone who's been paying a slight bit of attention. It's depressing and dismaying, but it's not surprising. And there's, in addition to just, you know, everyday people's intuitions about this, there's a very long literature going back decades of research into people's attitudes and stereotypes that's documented this very, very well. So what I was trying to do, along with my collaborators in this research, was not to show that Black men are thought it was dangerous, because, again, I'm not a fan of that piece of information about the world, but it's unquestionably true. It's in the United States, but anyway, and probably any other countries. But so the question is, what was new about this? And that has gotten almost no attention, I should say, because I don't know if it's just not so salacious or if it's just not interesting to a general audience, but I'm going to give it a try. I mentioned earlier that we asked people about not only danger, but also about the body type of the character, and that we were able to tell using our statistical analyses that the size that was imagined to be attributed to the Black characters had a meaning, which was it actually represented the threat that they posed, right? So what we were interested in this study was kind of going further beyond just saying, okay, Black men or also Latino men are thought of as dangerous, but how does the mind actually represent that? Like, let's understand this prejudice in a little more nitty-gritty way and with the hope that can give us some purchase on maybe changing it. So we wanted to know about the role of size. And the reason this matters is that size doesn't always mean threat. There's another literature that also goes back decades, which shows that size typically represents prestige. And this should be intuitive. Like, when you think of an important person, like, I'm sure you've met a celebrity in your life, and the first thing you thought was, why are they so small?
Yes.
That person looks tiny, but I thought they'd be like a foot taller than they are.
Yes.
Like the Tom Cruise effect.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Or like in one of the recent presidential debates, I believe that Jeb Bush was sort of, people were laughing at him because he was stepping on his tippy toes. But it makes sense that he would do that because he was probably trying to look bigger. And the reason he's trying to look bigger is that he wants to look more important, more prestigious, and more electable. And see if this, take a minute and ask yourself, why is that the case? Why do human beings represent physical or status in terms of physical size? And I should also add, this is a cross-cultural effect. It's been found all over the place, all over the world. So what is it about human experience or about human evolution even that has led us to think of status in terms of size? And why does size sometimes mean danger rather than status? How are all these things connected?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really big part of what we were trying to understand in this research was what we basically found was that depending on who you're thinking about, size means something different. If you're thinking about someone from a group or for some reason who you think of as dangerous, size basically nature. But if you're thinking about someone from a group that you aren't afraid of, then size means prestige. And this is one of the clearest results of the study, and this was the primary thing that was new, was that kind of like it's kind of like looking into the programming code of the prejudice,
okay,
to find out a little bit of the details of the algorithm. And in this case, we know that size has this double meaning, and that assumptions about size can implicitly be an indication of assumptions about danger or about prestige.
Makes sense. Sure. That makes total sense. I think we see that everywhere in the world, not just in humans, but just in nature in general. Like, size is a deterrent. Yep. Size is a deterrent to be attacked, to be threatened. If the bigger you are, the less worries you have. Vice versa, the bigger you are, the more prey you have. So, yeah.
That's right. And in most, most animals that are social, which is, to say, they live in groups.
Bears.
Socially. Hmm. Where there is status hierarchies, with the exception of humans, we have a difference. And I'm speaking a little too broadly. Like, people who are experts in animal cognition would probably point out interesting counterexamples. But generally speaking, status is dominant in the non-human animal world.
Right.
If you have status, it's because you are big and strong, and you will force people to give you the resources and give you the ranks that you have sort of claimed because you can hurt them because you're big and strong. And actually, that's why I believe we think of prestige and status in terms of size. I think it's sort of an echo of our evolutionary heritage that we, for eons, were evolved to understand status as meaning size, as meaning threat. And now, but whereas now, we've developed a new way of understanding status. It doesn't necessarily mean threat. So, like, look at Chris Christie. When he was discovered that he had pulled those dirty tricks involving that bridge, and right, it actually led to a death.
Right.
That kind of bullying behavior, did that help his prestige? No.
It didn't.
Pretty much destroyed him.
It definitely was a negative on his mark, which I think surprised a lot of people. But it, for whatever reason, it didn't work for him. I don't know why.
No, it typically wouldn't work. I mean, acting in a dominant, bullying way, generally speaking,
but it's incompatible
with prestige. But then there's Donald Trump on the other
side. Right, I was going to say, it works for many people many times, Trump being the most recent example of that.
Sure. No, and then there's even dictatorships.
Of course.
Plenty of expressions of kind of old-school, dominant, violent coercion in human society. But in most cases and in most communities, people won't put up with that. Now, and they prefer people to actually treat other people with respect.
You mentioned it in the quotes that you were disgusted by some of the findings. Could you go into more about that?
Well, I mean, there's not much to say about it except that, it's disturbing. And I believe that that quote, I was a little embarrassed because it sounds sort of melodramatic. I mean, I don't want to come across as this, like, very well-intended white researcher who's sort of overclaiming. I mean, I don't know the experience of walking around and having people hold all these negative stereotypes. I'm a white man. I walk between the raindrops in my experience of society. But what I told that particular reporter was just that, on the one hand, the findings were intellectually interesting and raised new questions. I was, on a certain level, happy with what I had learned. But then, when I switched out of researcher mode and went back into human being mode, I was appalled, especially knowing that these participants would probably be pretty horrified to know that their answers revealed this kind of deep-seated prejudice.
Yeah, I think again, I wasn't shocked, but I know some people were disappointed, and I think the reason why is because, A, if these are quote-unquote left of center, I think maybe they're more progressive if they're college students, maybe they're young, they're younger, you know. We make assumptions about class, meaning maybe they're educated to a higher level, meaning they should know better, right?
Well, actually, there's something interesting about that, which is we found similar results in the younger college student population as we found in the online participants. And the online participants were very diverse. I mean, these were not in terms of their ethnicity, which because they were almost all white, but they were completely diverse in terms of their income status and their age and so on. And so, I mean, we had people ranging from 18 to in their 70s. The average age in the study was actually in the early 30s.
Okay.
And so this was sort of, you know, a finding that seems to apply to mostly white Americans in the United States of all ages.
Okay. I think we can end there. We can end there. That was great.
Sure. Well, I hope so. I mean, I know it's I often find myself sort of like trying not to veer into lecture mode. I hope I didn't go too far.
No,
into that
you were fine. You were fine. I think again this topic always breaks through in the mainstream about two or three times per year. Every year for like the last 20 years, it'll pop up and then disappear for like 4 months and pop up again. And what I was saying before, it doesn't stick though. For whatever reason, we've had developments in society that have you've seen actual progress. We understand how racial bias works. We need more diversity. That's a buzzword everywhere, diversity. But the reasons, stuff like this, the actually meat and potatoes of why decisions are made, this kind of subconscious stuff, it doesn't work.
Yep.
We can't get it to change. I don't know why.
It's hard.
It is very difficult.
You know what? I don't know if you want to include this bit as well, but I would actually say that based on the some emerging research, there's more reason to be optimistic than you might expect.
Such as?
I'm an evolutionary psychologist, and that's the way that I understand the effects that we've been talking about. And a lot of people have the assumption that evolutionary psychology basically says everything is hardwired and everything is bad and there's nothing you can do about it, and that's why men cheat on their wives and so on. But that's really not the case. It's much more interesting and much more complex than that. And one finding that is very strong and very striking, I believe, is that automatically grouping people by race seems to be something that we were not evolved to do, and that it's relatively easy, in some experiments anyway, to get people to stop doing. So there's a bunch of experiments that have done variations on the following. You see a bunch of faces, a bunch of men. That's right. Some similar work done with women as well. And there's black men and white men. And they also have different T-shirts. If the T-shirts aren't different, then there's ways of telling that they're automatically remembering things in sort of a clump that's based on race. It's completely automatic. But all you have to do is say that these are members of two different sports teams, and suddenly the effect of race goes way down and sometimes disappears. And now people are tracking the T-shirts, and they're automatically going, oh, that guy's from Team X. That one was from Team Y. And the reason that, as an evolutionist, I'm not convinced that racism is inevitable or innate, is that it's very, very unlikely that during the time when our minds really evolved and came online, that people were interacting with different races. They just didn't travel that far.
Right.
What they were interacting with was different groups. So we have a very deep, what's called a coalitional psychology, a tendency to think in terms of my group, in-group, out-group. My guys, other guys. That's probably going to stick. But whether or not the groups are based on race seems negotiable. It seems that there's ways of really pushing that around and hopefully getting rid of it. And basically just by giving people other ways to group each other. So there are some studies that have similarly shown that if you let people know the religious category of a mixed race group, suddenly people are tracking, like a Christian participant will suddenly be thinking, oh, these are a bunch of Christians, not these are a bunch of black men or whatever. Because in that, what they've done is they've made a different group, a different way of grouping people suddenly come to the fore and be more meaningful. And so there is, you know, in terms of the research, sure, there's plenty of research showing these automatic associations, you know, and my recent study is one of them. But there is other research that's really focusing on, you know, can we change this? How stubborn is it? And there are reasons to be hopeful.
Okay. Well, you know what? I hope you're right. I really do. Dr. Holbrook, thank you again for your time. We very much appreciate you you talking to me.
You're very welcome. It was a real pleasure for me.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Rebel Without Applause podcast with Khalid Salaam.
Welcome back to Rebel Without Applause. This is your host, Khalid Salaam. You just finished listening to my interview with Dr. Colin Holbrook, a scientist from UCLA, whose study on racial bias included many discussions about name, quote-unquote, black names. His study happened to be in the news around the same time as Raven Simone's comments. I don't think her comments came from that. I'm not actually for sure, but I think they're independent. And it's just a coincidence, but you know, Raymond Simone's comments, which were, you know, I mean, you know what she said. It was ridiculous, ignorant, foolish, stupid, whatever. But here's the thing. She's not alone in her assessment. And even though the name she used was like incredibly like almost imaginary, I don't even think that's actually a name that anyone has, but whatever, you know. I think part of her delusion is to think of the most delusional name. But again, it's a topic that comes up a lot. B, a sentiment, you know, that a lot of people agree with, a lot of people. So her while her comments were certainly criticized across, you know, definitely social media and just in general, she ain't the only one. She's only one this week or this month or this moment. That topic comes up all the time. It's an old topic. It's been legitimately discussed in mainstream news for like 20 years, like since the 90s. And it'll come up it'll break through into the news cycle basically 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year, depending on the year. But definitely at least once or twice it's in the news. A paper comes out, a book comes out, somebody says something on a radio show, a TV show, a talk show, then it's in the news again, right? Politician might say something, or a celebrity, or whatever, but it comes up a lot because there's a constant way of trying to understand it. And what the doctor and I were speaking of focus a lot on that, in which we know it's bullshit. There's no debate on that, right? We know that it's racist. Again, no debate on that. And yet we can't actually move ahead on this topic. We can't move ahead on this thing at all. We're having the same discussions about it we had 20 years ago. And, you know, for me, this is a topic that I find it's close to my heart. As you might imagine, someone with a Khalid Salaam name might be sensitive to any kind of bias based upon something so ridiculous. However, it isn't just even just about me. Like, you know, there are those who say, oh, Khalid, that's okay. Your name is acceptable, quote unquote. You know, they might not say it in that way, but that's how they're speaking to me. Like, oh, Khalid's okay. Salaam, we're okay with those names. But however, it's true. There's a certain way that people separate those who have, quote unquote, good names from bad names. And I discuss this a lot. I've written about it a lot. I wrote a piece last year for Esquire on this very topic. And I tried to go in on it from a different angle because, you know, from my vantage point, people were having the wrong conversation. You know, people are like, well, you know, are black names, are they good or bad? Are black names, do they generate racial bias? Do they create stereotypes in the subconscious mind? I'm like, yeah, but here's the real thing. There really is no such thing as a black name. Like the term black name is like a catch-all phrase, but it actually doesn't really mean anything. You know, it doesn't actually mean shit. There are no black names. As a, you know, there's no such thing. There's just place of origin with names, right? So the country where the name became popular, the name, the country where the name was created, the place where it, it had its genesis. That's really what it's about. As I've tried to discuss with people many times, regardless what your name is, no matter what you think about whatever the name is, any name could be used, and somebody could say it's good or bad based on whatever parameters they want to say it on. It doesn't matter at all. There's no way you can say, well, this name okay or this name bad. It's not based upon anything logical. It's just simply based upon whether it's quote-unquote considered to be popular amongst Black people and whether it's not. That's it. That's the only variable. That's the only variable, because half the names that people consider to be, quote, Black names weren't always, quote, Black names. Half the names. You know, on Twitter, I talk about Tyrone a lot. People sort of remember hearing, even going back to until in the 70s and 80s, you know, and it's sort of the, it's the highlight name. It's the one that everybody sort of identifies, except that, you know, as I discussed with the doctor, and I've discussed many times on my own, it's an Irish name. And if you don't believe me, go to Ireland and ask somebody, is Tyrone a Black name? And they'll look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, what do you mean, is it a Black name? Not only is it an Irish name, it's an Irish place. There's a county called Tyrone in Ireland. You can go there if you want to and then see if it's a Black name. See if you see any Black people there, right? Other names, Antoine, oh, that's a Black name. How could it be a Black name when it's French? You can go, again, this is, it's all common knowledge. Like, we sort of know this stuff. Lamar, again, none of these names are created by Black people, right? Quote unquote, whatever, how you define that term in and of itself. But whatever cultural designations you make, for instance, somebody's name could be Mike, and then that could be a Black name if somebody decided it was a Black name. But for whatever reason, it wasn't decided upon. But other names like Tyrone and Antoine were decided upon. Now, the only variable is by whom and when. And I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know why names like Tyrone and Lamar became so unpopular amongst non-Black communities. But they were once regular names that regular white people had, regular American people had. You know, parents named their kids Lamar for years and years. It was no situation about that made anybody nervous or like, oh, this name is no good. And what I try to tell people is like, it's not really about the name. It's just what you think about whatever the name, who the name is attached to. No matter what the name is, right? It doesn't matter what the name is. And this is how white supremacy works. You know, it takes anything that's the other, and in this case it's names, right? It takes whatever the other is and makes it bad. And not only does it make it bad, but it makes you feel bad about it in association with actually nothing that you might personally feel, meaning the name in and of itself doesn't mean anything negative to you unless you think it's a Black person's preference to have that name, in which you're basically saying if a Black person likes it, if a Black person gives it value, then somehow it must be bad. Somehow it must be inferior. And for the many people who have these kinds of names, you know, what are they supposed to do, right? Are they just to be cast aside because we decide as a society, like, we don't give a shit about your name? But what it is we don't give a shit about Black culture. So anything Black culture says, this is important, we beat it down. We beat it down, we stomp it, we spit on it, and we piss on it. And this is both racially and class. Because, you know, again, I always remind people, these quote-unquote Black names or made-up names, how people say, oh, well, those names are made up. Those names aren't real. Every name is made up. What do you mean? Every name has been made up. Every name. You understand what I'm saying? Like, every single person that has a name that was created out of thin air. It's just, again, by whom and when did it happen? And that's all people care about. It could have been 1,000 years ago, or it could be 1 year ago. And we decide if it's okay based upon nothing. Something I discuss on Twitter a lot. How names go in and out of style, and then how there are often new names that become popular based on any number of things. For instance, this TV show Game of Thrones, a show that I love. I love Game of Thrones. I think it's great, as we all do, right? And I think the names of the characters on the show are creative, interesting, whatever, they're fine. But they're also irrelevant. I don't care what their names are. The names could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The names could be numbers. You know what I'm saying? Jon Snow's name could be 7. It doesn't matter to me, right? And then a lot of research over the last couple of years have shown the raging popularity of names like Arya, right? And Khaleesi. Now, again, I'm fine with those names. However, on what basis are those names okay? Like, how is a name like Khaleesi okay? Because it's a long name, right? If you read it, if you get it in a piece of paper, maybe you don't know how to pronounce it, right? It's 3 syllables, which I feel like 2 syllables is like the cutoff that's considered okay. Anything more than 2 syllables, people get nervous, right? So Arya and Khaleesi are names that are rising in popularity in mainstream communities, which mainstream usually means white communities, and that's fine. But it also means middle class or upper middle class communities in this context. And those names are okay. We don't define those names under the same rules. We don't say those names are the names of people who are inferior, who are ignorant, who are stupid, who don't know any better, who are uncivilized, who are savages. We use those terms to describe other people's names, right? And we do it without any care in the world. And what I try to get people to understand is, like, if Khaleesi is okay, then a name like Khalid has to be okay. And then any name, frankly, right? Any name. It doesn't matter if you think it's a good or bad name. The same rules have to apply, but they don't. Now, if Game of Thrones was a show in which all the characters were black, right, and Khaleesi was a black woman and her name was still the same name as Khaleesi, and that name became popular, I'm telling you for a fact, I know it, and you know it too if you know the truth, that name would be considered to be a bad name or a ghetto name, quote unquote. Because the class issue that comes in is that these people are people who are bereft of common sense. Somehow they're lacking in common sense. You know, this is why they live in the ghetto in the first place. This is why they live in the projects in the first place. Because somehow they're just not smart enough to figure out how to survive in a better way. They don't know how to better themselves. Here's a perfect example. Look at the shitty name they name their kids, right? Khaleesi would not be considered a good name. It would just be another ghetto name, right? Like Laquanda. The difference between Khaleesi and Laquanda is nothing. There's no difference. Same amount of syllables, right? Has the same newness, quote unquote. Whatever you think about those names, you can definitely say they're not old names. So it's the same energy. But I guarantee there's no debate on this from my vantage point. There's no debate at all, frankly. That you feel one way right now about Laquanda, and you feel one way about Khaleesi right now. You do in your soul, you do. And if you do, if you think one is better, and you know you feel it in your heart that you think one is better, you got to ask yourself why that is. And if you don't know, I'll tell you, that's how white supremacy works. It's so subtle. It's like the wind blowing. It feels natural. It's just so subtle against your skin. You don't even know what's happening. It happens at a genetic level, at a molecular level. And some people might say, well, you know, that's okay. Maybe we tease these names. Maybe, you know, we make fun of these names. Maybe, you know, but we're not actually doing anything physically to them. We're not hitting them because they have these names, right? But here's the thing. If Laquanda can't go into a bank and get a loan, and Khaleesi can, and they have the same exact everything else, right? Same amount of money, same credit score, same everything, right? They come to the bank dressed the same. And as Khaleesi becomes more normalized, that's how names work. They become normalized. And then we all say yes. You know, at some point, we all say yes on names. And then that's how it works. And so if Laquanda goes into a bank and Khaleesi goes into a bank and Laquanda gets turned down, you're hurting Laquanda. Maybe you're not physically punching her, but you're hurting her life. You're limiting her potential based on nothing. Same thing for a job. And we know the job. We know all the bias and how names and resumes work. We know it for a fact. We know it. We've talked about it ad nauseum for years, decades. We all know this, and we still don't care about it. We basically say, they got weird names, fuck them. That's basically what we say. Even though there's no actual basis for it. None at all. And people use all kind of reasons for why they justify it. Well, we have these weird spellings, so we don't, you know, how come you don't spell it in one way? Or, you know, we don't understand, you know, where the apostrophe goes, or where the dash goes, or where this, that, and the other goes. We don't know how to pronounce it. If you don't know how to pronounce it, guess what? Figure it out. It isn't like you don't figure out how to pronounce last names, right? Because last names oftentimes are very much more complicated and more specific to different cultures than first names. You know, so like if someone's last name could be 3, 4, 5 syllables, right? Somehow we learn how to pronounce people's last names. But somehow first names, we don't know what to do with first names. We just give up. Well, the name is too complicated, so I'm not even going to try. What do you mean you're not going to try? What are you talking about? And you hear teachers say this all the time. And if you go to anything online discussing names, and if there's a comment board. Now, you know, I always say, you don't really want to read the comment boards because that's where the animals live. But you can go anyway and see for yourself what it said in those comment boards. On any mainstream site, I don't care how progressive it is. You can go left, right, center. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. You can go to fucking Breitbart. You can go to MSNBC, and I'm telling you, the comments will basically be the same, in which people find reasons to subjugate other people, to actually tear them down because their name isn't John or Michael or Mary or April or Susan or Samantha or Robert. And but here's the thing, right? There are other names that are also okay that might not be popular names. Again, I've done umpteen amounts of research on this. I know as much about this topic as I know about anything, I feel like. Like, I've actually been in the grind on this topic for years. Other popular names that are growing on the census reports, they always have names. And the information is always published in reports. Other popular names are like Gunner. And again, if I say Gunner, in your mind, you just thought of what? Just now. What did you just think of when I say the name Gunner? What does Gunner look like? Where is he from? Who are his parents? What did they do? Do you like them or do you not like them? Is it an acceptable name or is it not an acceptable name? And a lot of names in this category in which they're sort of like weaponish or weapon inspired. There are a lot of names in that category. I mean, Gunner to me just sort of the most obvious because it has a name, the word gun in the actual name. Those names are considered to be, at the very least, not negative. At the very least, like if your name is Gunner or Colt, nobody's going to say your name is going to hold you back from success. Nobody will say your name might get your resume tossed out immediately. Nope. They may say any number of things, but they won't say that. They won't say that. Because somehow Gunner and Colt are okay names. And so we get into all these debates about what is acceptable and what isn't, you know. And it's stressful, you know. And you know, it's hard on these people. It's very hard. It's very difficult. Doesn't matter what it is. Even if you have a quote mainstream name, but the spelling is unique. People even complain about that, and they'll say on comment boards. But it's not just like random comments. It'll be, you know, professors, teachers, you know, masters of industry, people who have you know, power in policy making, people who have power and influence. They all say the same things. Well, you know, you your name is this, but they spelled it weirdly, and we figured anyone who spells a name that differently is somehow unworthy of our time and effort. You know, they should spell it the one way that is traditionally spelled, as if other names have different spellings. Like, there's like 5 ways to spell the name Sean, but somehow I never heard that debate. I never heard anybody ever say, "Well, you shouldn't spell it that way. You should not spell it Shawn or Shonn." You know, I've seen there are like 5 or 6 ways to spell that name, And each way somehow is okay. Again, it's not about the name at all. That's a trick. That's how white supremacy tricks you. It's not about what you see. It's about what you feel. And your reaction to this situation, your reaction to the stimuli, is not based on anybody's name. It's based on how you feel about the person and whether they are, in fact, worthy of your respect and honor. And I'm telling you, I hate it. I hate that we even go through this. I hate that as a society we even acknowledge this nonsense. I hate that we in 2015, when we know it's bullshit, still let it breathe. We still let this nonsense breathe. And it puts people in a disadvantage. You know, as a kid, there weren't a lot of people named Khalid. Actually, I didn't know anybody with my name until many, many years later. And I never thought about my name being bad or anything. But, you know, was it a burden? It was a burden to an extent, only because I knew I'd have to spell it for people, or maybe some might not understand it. But that ended. The burden part ended when I was maybe, I don't know, maybe 11 or something. Like, I was like, hey, my name is actually kind of awesome. But that doesn't mean other people felt that way. That's how I feel about it. And, you know, I've been asked if my name has held me back at all, whether first or last name, whether there are any impact, has there been any impact on my actual day-to-day life as far as resumes or how people treat you or, you know, perceive you to be. I mean, yeah, people definitely they definitely bring their ideas to the table regarding anyone's name. I understand that. And that's mine too. You know, if your name is Khalid, I think people expect you to be a certain way. They expect you to be certainly a upstanding kind of person in many aspects. And they just figure, okay, his name is Khalid. But when they see the last name, they say, okay, right? And so, you know, it's a topic dear to my heart, of course. And if you have a name like mine, I'm sure you would understand why. And if your name starts with a D-E or L-A or N-A or N-E or whatever, or you have a random apostrophe and people think because of that little mark on a piece of paper, you know, somehow makes you uncivilized, you can do two things. You can let that negativity make you feel depressed, make you feel insecure, or you can do what I do, which is spend ample amounts of time barking on people. Because frankly, if you think your name makes you a better person than me, not only are you wrong, but you're small-minded and likely inferior. It just is what it is. It's not a debate. Your name does not give you magical powers over me. That's foolish. And no matter who you are, you don't have to accept any of that nonsense. This is a topic that if you want to discuss this with me, I'm always happy to. You know, you guys know my Twitter handle, Mr. Khalid S. MRKHALIDS. We can discuss names all day long, any day, any weather, doesn't matter. It's a topic I feel very comfortable about discussing, and one that I feel very strongly about. There'll be an addendum at some point. I'm sure there'll be a part two, because this is a topic that, again, it doesn't go away. It always comes back. So, yes, thank you for your time. Rebel Without Applause, we are out here being awesome, doing awesome shit. Thank you for your time. Peace.
Follow Khalid on Twitter at Mr. Khalid S.